Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Doom Radio. Here today to talk NFL news, other news sports. No real topic today. Still waiting for training camps to start, I believe, if memory is correct, which I've put up every other window in front of me besides training camp. I believe Arizona opens up training camp July 28th. I hope I'm correct. I'm going to double check that. But on top of that, yeah, we're going to talk some sports. You know, a lot of little things have happened in the past week and even 2 weeks. I didn't really touch on to a lot of random sports news last week because I talked sleepers, players that I thought would do teams that they are on now, teams that players that I thought won't do that well because of the teams they went to. And then at the end, I kind of talked about like a little bit of general stuff. And I talked about the kid at FSU that got into an altercation with a girl. Had a little things like that. I think I talked a little bit like NBA sign-ins because, you know, their free agency started about 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, outside of that, today, just I'm mostly going to stick to the NFL as much as I can. Like I said, I mean, the thing about me, you got to understand, I really, really love the NFL. Like, that's all. When NFL season starts, I go out, I watch all the games. We do like 3 shows a week. We started last year, was our first year doing this show. We do like 3 shows a week. And outside of football, I'm in Orlando. I haven't gone to Orlando Magic game in a while. I don't really follow them. They don't do that great. I'm not really that into basketball, really, to be honest with you. And college football, I just fell off of. I don't know, just with doing the show and doing like all the fantasy stuff I do, I'm just so engulfed into the NFL that I don't take the time to really try to follow anything else. I do like tennis. I say I like tennis. We watched like the ceremony and a little bit of the match this weekend versus Fedorov and Novak. And outside of that, you know, golf I'm not that interested in. Baseball bores me. Season's too long. All that good stuff. I don't. It's not my forte. But that's why I have a coach in Doug. I know he has school and he's been having a lot of homework. That's why he's been like missing a few shows here and there. Or he's been coming on late because he's just been, like, swamped with homework and school stuff. Because I believe he had to take this summer classes this year in order to graduate. Because I believe he has to fulfill a certain amount of credits over the summer at the school he goes to. And so that's why he's kind of in and out, just to give everybody a heads up on that. But he did tell me as long as he you know, didn't get too swamped with homework and all that stuff, that he will be on. So we'll just wait if he does. But he's like, you know, he's other half. He likes college football. That's why he usually is way more knowledgeable about college football than me. His brother plays baseball in Japan, I believe. So that's why he's really into major leagues and everything. And, yeah, so we definitely work off of each other really well. And like, as I said just a little while ago, I love football. NFL. I love NFL. It's my go-to. It's my passion. Like, if I was to somehow get popular off of this and like, get offered a job as a sportscaster, I would predominantly want to follow the NFL. I would want to be one of those guys that just like show up on NFL Network or, you know, NFL Fantasy, something like that is what I would want to do just because of my passion for the game and how much I love it. So With that being said, I would like to start off with talk a little about Dum Dum. I call him Dum Dum, and I'm calling him Dum Dum JPP on the Giants. Was it Paul Pierce or Pierre Paul? Pierre Paul. I like JPP better. It's a lot easier to say. But over the 4th of July weekend, he burned himself. He injured himself setting off fireworks. By injuring himself setting off fireworks, he ended up having to get his finger amputated. And on top of getting his finger amputated, it's just not looking that well for him and his future with the Giants. And on top of that, I just feel that that's a big blow to the team. And I saw a little bit more, like, you know, I believe he had a pretty decent offer on the table from the Giants, and negotiations had stopped. I believe they were somewhere, and he might have got, I'm trying to, but like he really got into bad standings with the Giants from his accident. And I mean, I don't know how much missing a finger. It's his index finger, his right index finger. So guess that would be weird. And he lost a $60 million contract. Guess that was a contract offer. And I don't he just You know, he, I, it's like kind of not fair to tell, like, say, like, you know, why do these guys do this stuff? Why do they ruin their career and everything? They still want to have a life. They want to be as normal as they can. They want to enjoy the money that they're making. So it's really not fair for us normal people that get to watch them play football every Sunday and put their body through hell to entertain us, and then expect them to just like sit in an ice tub and go to the gym, eat well, and study the playbook and film all off season and not enjoy their life. You know, they have families, they have wives, and it's like kind of fair when they're like, oh man, why was he so stupid to be setting off fireworks? Like, I've set off fireworks plenty of times. I never, you know, planned on burning my hand or, you know, to the point where I have to lose a finger. I mean, no, I don't think anybody has that in mind when they are going to play, you know, with fireworks. Or, you know, none of these guys in the off season plan on injuring themselves when doing something to enjoy themselves. Now, should they consider some things, you know, might be a little bit more risky in order for them to, you know, get an injury while they're trying to have fun that can, you know, was it conflict with their careers? I think, you know, stuff like motorcycles, I would, if I was a pro athlete, I definitely think I would stay away from motorcycles. Few, many, I don't want to say many as like in like so many, but you know, there have definitely been accidents on motorcycles through sports in general that have just either destroyed people's careers, like they just never could play again, death. I mean, remember Ben Roethlisberger a while ago, really bad accident, and all types of surgery had to be done, and I think motorcycles is something that NFL players and just players in general, any sport, should be wary of. Jumping out of an airplane, I don't know, that just, I'm pretty sure that the statistically accidents are very low. But do you really, really, really have to jump out of a plane that bad that you can't wait till after you retire, early 30s, depending on who you are? I think it could wait. Stuff like that. Like, don't go swim with sharks. Like, why would you? I mean, I never heard of someone doing that, but there's definitely activities that people should be wary of. This summer, or it's off season, I should say, because it's kind of still early in the summer, but Brady was somewhere with his kids and he jumped off probably like a 30-foot waterfall or something. And, once again, it's like, he's trying to have fun with his family and everything. Was it, nothing happened, so of course it was okay, but, if something happened, would it be like, oh no, like, why would he think to do that? Like, he was enjoying his family time. Like, I don't know. I just definitely think we put a lot of expectations on these guys, even when they're off the field. Like, we hold them up to this pedestal, even when they're not on the field, when they are just normal people, rich. They're not that normal because they're definitely a lot richer than all of us. Not, I won't say all of us, cause I'm pretty sure it might be someone that'd say, hey, let me go listen to the show. Like, oh, what do you mean? Richer than me? All right. $250 million in the bank, and then another 400 in investments. Like, like, okay, not you, but the normal person, as in someone that works, Monday through Friday, and they live in an apartment, stuff like that. They're not normal to us. Well, outside of JPP, stupid hurt. I don't know how much it's gonna hurt the Giants, but I think they'll miss him. They'll miss him being 100%. Then recently, Gronk came out with a book, and while he was, I guess, at his sign-in or something, someone asked him about what he thought of Brady, and basically just said, we just gotta play football. Everybody has to do their job, and I'm pretty sure that's, some of that has to do with Garoppolo. It's true. The suspension was made earlier in the year, so it's no surprise. They've had all the training camps so far, knowing that Brady could possibly have the 4-game suspension. So if Garoppolo is going to be a guy, and I mean, Brady's not going to be there too much longer. I'll say 2-3 more years, if that. I mean, if he goes longer than that, that would just be amazing. And play at the level that he's at. Not just go that long, but stay at the level he's playing. Garoppolo does look like he could be taking over. So him playing 4 games, I don't see that as the most negative thing, due to the fact that his time can come soon. So the more time he can get on the field, the more experience he can get, the more time he can play with the guys on the team, even though that he might have a totally different team when he gets, his opportunity, if he gets his opportunity to play. I think that the 4 games won't be drastic. There are a few tough teams in those first 4 weeks, but it's the first 4 weeks. I think that they can definitely do a lot. I think that due to the fact he hasn't played much with the least amount of film with him, that a lot of teams will have his tendencies and everything. So I think that it would work out just fine for the Patriots. The only sucky part would be that if or when Brady comes back, like how long would it take Brady to get into rhythm? Like, is he gonna come back right away and be in rhythm, or is it gonna take him 2 or 3 games to get in rhythm? That would be my only concern, my biggest concern with Brady, because it would suck to go 4-0 with Garoppolo and then 1-2 with Brady, and it would just, be nerve-wracking at the present time. But down the road, if we made the playoffs or Super Bowl again, all of a sudden, like, oh, look at that, four weeks didn't even faze them. So it would be nerve-wracking at first, but it hopefully would pan out. So then other news in the NFL, Dez Bryant, yesterday I saw Dez Bryant say that no contract, no training camp. And today, when I checked for news, they agreed to a 5-year, $70 million contract. I didn't really take the time to see like all the details of it, but I am right now. And so he'll get a $20 million signing bonus, $23 million guaranteed. And let's see. I guess. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, $70 million deal, pretty much. And so that's, that's good. Great for him. Like I said, these guys, they're normal but not normal people because, getting paid a lot of money. And definitely good for Dallas. As much as I can tell you, I don't really like Dallas that much. But, it's definitely good for them due to the fact that he'll be in training camp. He'll, get to stretch. Like, the thing about not doing training camp to me, I always see those guys come out very stiff. Like, they're not loosened up. They're not, injuries and stuff happen. There was a good stretch of, I want to say, rookies that were holding out, I want to say, or just players in general that were holding out in training camp. And then they would go, they get whatever they wanted, and they go play, and they get injured. And it happened for a while. I remember, like, probably late 90s to the 2000s, not too sure to be honest with you, but I just remember a stretch always hearing about a player that was holding out got like season injury for 7 weeks. And so I just think that it's, I know they're trying to hold out to get their money and everything, but as a career standpoint, and just for the people that have done it and it's just not worked out, should definitely keep that in consideration. And that's why I think it's good, because Dez Bryant is definitely a pretty exciting guy to watch. He is a great receiver. I won't take that from him. And they're going to need him this year. I don't think their rushing attack is going to be that well. And if Romo and Bryant are not on the same page, it would be killer to that offense. So, they're really going to need him this year. They're going to need all the receivers to step up, because I think their weakest point of their game is their running attack. And we haven't seen it yet. We're just trying to, like I say we, because I'm pretty sure there's multiple people that think that because they lost Murray, that they won't be the same rushing attack. And so I think that is really going to put a lot of strain on that offense and even the offensive line. We'll see. Personally, Romo having the ball in his hand so much, I like, because I think he puts up great stats. I just don't think he wins, is how I like see him. He's like a stat guy. Fantasy, you're like, oh, I'll get a Romo. Yeah, he's awesome. But he doesn't give Dallas that, what they need in the playoffs, usually. And let's see. And I have them ranked. I say they're going to be, this is my prediction early on. this could change, but I hope I'm right. Third strongest team. Third strongest team in the NFC East. I think Eagles are going to take it. Going to be out of the Redskins or Giants to take that second spot. I don't think Dallas is going to do it. Just don't think they're going to do it. Nope. No. Nope. So then what else did I have? Hold on. I have more NFL news that I want to take away. J.J. Watt got number one spot in top 100. That's not a shocker. Oh, here we go. Got dude. Oh, man, it's been so long. You.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
What up, man?
Not much. Just got done with some Spanish stuff. Heard you talking about JJ Watt.
Yeah. I was just actually talking Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant signed today. What was it?
Yeah, I saw that. And Julius Thomas both signed a deal.
Yeah.
Houston
so got
signed too. Houston to the Chiefs got signed a bigger deal than JJ Watt. Houston's like $52.5 million.
Yeah, I've been talking just like random news. I talked a little JPP. I talked, Gronk got interviewed about Brady, like, suspension. What else was I talking about? I was just talking about Dez Bryant. And then I was saying J.J. Watt got number one in top 100 players for this upcoming season. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, like, after, like, that's when the players vote on it, right?
I think so. I'm not too sure how the countdown goes. Maybe. I'm not sure. I just know it's the top 100 countdown. I never really paid too much attention to it due to the fact that it's like one player really, really doesn't, you know, where did they make the playoffs last year with J.J. Watt? You know, no. So it's like you still need a team in football. Like you could have top one and top four and still go 6-10. So it's
I mean, you can't say he's not trying. I mean, he caught, you know, touchdowns. I mean, I think he's probably, like, all-around probably player in the NFL, but is he the most important player on his team? Probably not. Because if they were winning and they had a quarterback that was decent, that guy would probably be the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, yeah, I was saying about when I was talking to Dez Bryant though, last week when I was doing I did sleepers and I talked about players like switching teams and how they'll do on that team and everything. And I was saying with the loss of DeMarco Murray and you know, now they have Dublin? I don't even know the running back's name. Turbine. He was like the backup last year. Why do I always forget chicken leg names? What is his name? I always forget his name. Used to be on the Raiders.
Yeah. He went to Arkansas. What's his name? He was like second in the Heisman Trophy voting that one year.
Yeah. I said it last
I forget.
Week, that's the worst part.
Well, I mean, you know what? The Cowboys used to have Felix Jones, who was the other guy in that backfield with the guy that they got this year. I forget what his name is. Dang, I can't remember. That's what happens when you go to the Raiders. You get thrown into obscurity. People just forget about you. People forgot Randy Moss was even playing football, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. Until he got traded that one year. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot he still plays in the NFL.
Yeah, and he went back to New England and just blew up.
I would have to say, if you could equate any places in the NFL to being like NFL prison, like to where you just get thrown off and people forget about you, it's Jacksonville, Oakland, and dude, even though Arizona wins, nobody knows except for like Peterson, like nobody can name anybody on that team, dude. Like who's their star? Carson Palmer, that guy's like 800 years old. He's had like 12 knee surgeries. Like, I mean, I know they got the one kid, I think they got Ellington from Clemson at running back, but he's not like a big, you know, not everybody knows about him.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not always on the field either. That's his, like, problem. When he's playing, he's doing well, but he's, like, injured, like, every other game. Like, he was definitely on the injury report every week last year. You never knew if he was going to play or not. And I got the Cowboys running backs up finally. Darren McFadden. That's who they got from the Raiders.
Darren McFadden, yeah.
Then Lance Dunbar. I was doobling all over the place with his name. And then they have Joseph Randall,
Dunbar?
I guess, also. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Joseph Randall, okay.
And those are definitely, I believe it's out of Dunbar and McFadden that are fighting for, like, number one. And then I guess it'll come down to whoever else and them for number two and three, I guess. But
why didn't they draft a running back? Well, they should have drafted a running back in the later rounds. I mean, there were so many guys that got taken late, like T.J. Yeldon. Like, you know, those guys are taken, like, third, fourth round. Like, why are you not trying to pick up any of these guys?
I don't know. I guess they have a lot of faith in
McFadden,
I guess.
I know they need a lot of help on defense in Dallas, but you got to have a running back. I mean, Darren McFadden, if they think that he's still good enough and has enough wheels to where if the line will actually block, because not like Oakland's line was all that great. So if Dallas' line can really block for him, I mean, I guess he could probably do, like, pretty good. You know what I mean? DeMarco Murray had his first uninjured season last year. You know what I mean? Up until that last year, DeMarco Murray had been injured all the time. I think, dude, that's like a fluke season for like running backs. Like, they're always out at least like 1 or 2 weeks of something going on, like an ankle sprain or like a knee. Their knee hurts or they're like got a thigh bruise and they can't play. Like, usually they're out at least 1 or 2 games. Like, even if they're like almost always healthy, like, you expect a running back to miss, like, 1 or 2 games getting pounded on that in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you don't sit out even one single game, to me, that is, like, a statistical fluke. Like, the undefeated Miami Dolphins, it's a fluke. It's a total statistical fluke, and it just happens sometimes. Sometimes it just happens. So,
yeah, I
don't know.
You know, I just see McFadden
My sleeper running back pick this year is Jeremy Hill in Cincinnati. I think they should trade Giovanni Bernard. Honestly.
Oh, you stop having the split backfield?
Yeah, I mean, I know that you can, and that, like I just said, you know, guys are usually out at least 1 or 2 weeks a year, and it's nice to have a good backup, but I mean, I know that there's a lot of salary tied up, at least in Bernard. It would be awesome if they could move him, extend Hill out, and, you know, I would trade Giovanni Bernard for, like, some draft picks, honestly. I don't know. Cincinnati boggles my mind because it's like that you always think that they're going to win, but then you just remember that Andy Dalton's their quarterback, so you know that as soon as it's prime time, it's over. And I wish I didn't have to say that. I wish I didn't have to say that about the guy, but, I mean,
he doesn't play well at night, man.
Dude.
You put all eyes on him, he loses, man.
Yeah.
It's a real stat. It's not even like we're just like joking about it. It's like you look.
No, what is the
prime time record?
Four playoff games in a row, right? And I know at least two of those were at home.
Yeah, and I believe any game like after like 7 o'clock, he's like 5-11 or something. Like, he's not good at night or prime time period, because all night games are pretty much prime time.
Honestly, I feel like those Cincinnati teams have so overachieved with Andy Dalton at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel bad for, like, the rest of the team, because I feel like when they get into the playoff, their team still plays well because their team matches up overall every position except quarterback with all those other teams. Think about who the AFC he's playing in the playoff. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winner. Tom Brady, multiple Super Bowl winner. Ben Roethlisberger, multiple Super Bowl winner. Who else in the playoffs? Oh, Peyton Manning in the AFC, multiple Super winner. That's four teams already out. There's only six teams in the playoffs, right? Oh wait, two, four.
Yeah
six. The first two teams, and so four teams in the AFC. Those teams have already. Those quarterbacks have all won Super Bowls. Andy Dalton, no, and who is the other team that got him from the AFC last year?
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck. probably the best quarterback in the NFL to not have a Super Bowl ring, only because he's so young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, Andy Dalton is the worst quarterback in the playoffs every single year in the AFC. So, of course, they're not going to win. That's why they lose. Because all those quarterbacks are so much better than he is. That's just the way it is. He's the sixth best quarterback in the AFC, essentially. I wouldn't even give him that. I would say the Bengals are the sixth best team in the AFC. He's the sixth best quarterback in the playoffs, but I think there's definitely other quarterbacks that are better than him. If you swap some other guy out, put Andy Dalton on a different team, I think the Bengals could be better. But I don't know. To me, I feel like that was a very simple breakdown of the situation. But four Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and then Andrew Luck, probably the best quarterback in the league to not have a Super Bowl, he's definitely low man on the totem pole.
I don't know. And their defense was played really well last year.
Their defense is solid, dude. Marvin Lewis does a great job with their defense. I feel like you don't have a lot of guys on that defense either. Like, they're like a no-name defense. Like, Carolina had a couple years, you know.
Yeah.
Over the last, like, four or five years, they've had, like, those no-name defenses that were, like, really, really good. And I feel like Cincinnati's kind of been that way for the last few years. You know, I think Marvin Lewis took him a couple years to really, like, get it all in shape. But, I mean, he's been in Cincinnati for a while now. I mean, he keeps leading them back to the playoffs. But, they don't have an elite number one receiver, and they don't have an elite quarterback, in my opinion. They're not going to win.
What's his Green? They got Green, EJ Green.
Oh, that's
AJ
right.
Green. Yeah, they got AJ Green.
Yeah, he was hurt a bit last year. No, he's trusting out. AJ Green is a great receiver. I think he makes Andy Dalton look better than he really is. They actually have good receivers. Sanu's a good number two, and then they had one other guy who was a good number two, I thought was a good number three guy. But I totally forgot
about
him.
Even the tight end, Gresham, is a pretty good tight end.
Did they release him this year?
I think so. I want to say he went
somewhere.
He either got released or he picked, or he left. One of the two.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think so.
He either left or, I'm not sure.
You know what? I want to say he's on the Titans for some reason.
For some reason that makes sense. I feel like they would try to give Mariota a decent tight end. But I mean, they have one good tight end already, and the guy that Delanie Walker is a good tight end who they picked up from San Francisco. Dude, Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, Colin Kaepernick, most overrated NFL player. Who's your most overrated? I mean, seriously. He came in, that 49ers team, when Alex Smith was a quarterback and Alex Smith got injured and Kaepernick came in, that 49ers team was a freaking baller team. Anybody could have played quarterback for them. I mean, honestly, that was before the Seahawks, like, had this vaunted defense. This was the year when – these were the years when, like, the 49ers – that was their year. When they played the Ravens in the Super Bowl, that was their year to win it all for the 49ers. And they choked.
It's funny.
That was a weird year anyway. I mean, the Super Bowl outage, Ray Lewis wins the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I felt like that was weird. That was a weird year.
But they there's an article, I didn't read it, but it's Alex Smith says that team that he like was on, that, you know, like you said, started where, you know, it was just baller that year, was destined to have short-term success. Like, they weren't set up for long-term success.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they didn't have a lot of those guys locked up. I mean, some of the guys were older. I mean, that's how the NFL is. I mean, it's really tough to set up a franchise like the Patriots have to where you have this success. I mean, they call Belichick the mad genius for a reason. I mean, he set up success handling personnel decisions in that franchise for a long time. And other franchises haven't had that. They've had guys that haven't panned out. Maybe they're not as good of talent evaluators. So, I mean, the NFL teams are always in flux like that. So, I mean, it really depends on the decisions that you make in the draft, the amount of guys that continue to play for you versus the guys that you have to sign from free agency, because the more guys you have to sign off the market, the more money you're spending, as opposed to keeping guys in-house and paying them, you know, money, and they feel loyal to your team, as opposed to just signing them because they feel loyal to the dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have touched on that, about how most teams that are, you know, winning Super Bowls and everything, definitely are drafting the teams over them signing the teams.
Yeah.
And we even went back.
For me, it's only a matter of time before the Colts win the Super Bowl, because Andrew Luck's been the best quarterback drafted in a while. I mean, some of these guys eventually going to have to start retiring. They're getting older. You know, Roethlisberger's got how many years left? Rip Brady's got how many years left in the league? You know what I mean? Like, we're starting to see how many years Carson Palmer got left. You know, how many other teams are in states of flux at the quarterback position? You know, some of these guys that are great right now aren't going to be around. How much longer is Breeze going to be around? Maybe 3 years? You know, so I think you're going to start seeing Andrew Luck's going to be probably like the first guy in this new class of quarterbacks to really, I mean, obviously Russell Wilson is, because he's already won one, but I think that Andrew Luck is probably going to, I think Andrew Luck, when it's all said and done, will probably have more Super Bowls than Russell Wilson, because I think Seattle's team is much better. I mean, obviously Indy's defense versus Seattle's defense isn't even a competition, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I mean, Indy's like middle of the road to, like, you know, bottom third of the league, obviously. And obviously I would say that Indianapolis' offense is probably way better than Seattle's, but, I mean, obviously, like you said before, this is a team game, so, you know, everybody on your defense could be J.J. Watt, but if your offense can't score any points, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. What do you think about Jimmy Graham at Seattle now?
I mean, I think it's definitely going to help. I mean, I think Drew Brees obviously lost a huge target. I mean, they dealt him away for, I think, draft picks and something else. But, I mean, I don't think he's – obviously, I don't think the guy's going to hurt the team. That's for sure. I mean, I think it's going to create more – I feel like they think it'll help a lot. You know, probably, obviously, it's going to create some more openings downfield with more safeties, you know, maybe playing low to try to take those, you know, short crossing routes away from Graham over the middle. So they think they might have more over-the-top availability. So, I mean – here's a team, if you look at Seattle, what I said about Cincinnati actually applies to Seattle. I mean, who are their elite receivers?
Yeah.
You know?
Let's look it up.
Yeah, tell me who they got. Do they still have?
I know they had Baldwin
Wright,
last year.
Doug Baldwin.
They had Curse.
Rice. They traded Golden
Rice
Chase.
Retired.
Who?
Sidney Rice retired last year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, he retired after they won the Super Bowl. That's probably a good move.
Because he might even retired that year. Because he was like on the verge of not making the roster.
Hmm.
I don't know if they picked anybody up in the draft. I don't think they had a lot of draft picks on top of that, because they traded away for Graham. So I don't think they had a lot to start with. I mean, obviously they made it to the Super Bowl, so they definitely had the talent to make it to the Super Bowl. Let's see, this is loading slow. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got Doug Baldwin, B.J. Daniels, Deshaun Fox. Obviously, those last two guys probably just... Jermaine Curse.
Yeah, Curse, yeah.
Oh, they drafted Tyler Lockett out of Kansas State.
Okay.
And they also have Ricardo Lockett, who spells his name with an E at the end, as opposed to the other guy. Chris Matthews, Doug McNeil, Kevin Norwood. Ooh, Kevin Norwood's decent. He's out of Alabama. I feel like he needs to get a little bit more of a shot. Paul Richardson, Kevin Smith. Yeah, I mean, obviously not all these guys are going to be playing Kason Williams.
Yeah, so as we said, they don't have a definite number
definitely,
one.
There's definitely
receiver,
not a number one. Yeah, there's not. I would say Doug Baldwin would be their number one, but he's really more of a number two, even in my eyes, a number three guy. Although I think they really want to run Baldwin at a two, and they'd like to run Tyler Lockett at a three. And I honestly would just put whoever is your fastest guy at your number one. Just whoever can run the fastest all the way downfield and just put them on the same side of the field as Jimmy Graham. I would run a lot of plays.
Chris Matthews. He was the one that in the Super Bowl was giving hell to the Patriots. Chris Matthews, he's the giant thing,
oh.
Like a 6'5 guy that just
yeah,
has
like
nowhere
a tight
to start.
End, right?
He's actually a receiver, so maybe, and he was only a rookie last year, so this is his second year. So, you know, he definitely showed in the Super Bowl that he has some potential. Because they had to put Browner on him to shut him down. They either put Browner or they put I want to say Law, but that's just going way too back in Patriots. Revis. They put one of those guys on him to slow him down.
I mean, there's an article in the Blog News Tribune about Jimmy Graham's versatility and Tyler Lockett's polish. Says it may affect the crowded race for the wide receiver jobs in Seattle. So when they traded for Jimmy Graham, they traded their starting center, Max Unger, and they also traded their first-round draft choice this year. So that's what they traded away in order to get Jimmy Graham.
So, yeah, I mean, my thing is I want to see what's going to happen. It's hard to predict. Because we really have never seen, you know, Russell Wilson have to throw that much. He's never really had to be that possible.
No, that's not, I mean, honestly, you see that? Here's the thing, and here's part of my problem with Seattle doing this. Don't change your formula that has gotten you a Super Bowl. Now, I know you want
to. And then brought you back to one.
Yeah, I don't want to – and the year before that, you were in the NFC Championship game and you lost to the 49ers barely. So 3 years in a row, the same philosophy has obviously gotten you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trading away guys on your offensive line? Okay, A, Marshawn Lynch is probably your best player. So why are you trading away your center runs the line, essentially? So I think this is honestly a better deal for the Saints. Jimmy Graham is older. Obviously, he's not like an old man. But I feel like this is definitely, you know – I feel like this is probably a better deal for the Saints overall when they got the draft.
Yeah, he missed like four or five games last year, too.
Drafting. Yeah, no, he missed some time, you know?
I think even the year before that, he missed a few games, so he's definitely been showing signs of injury.
I just think, you know what, like, they should have just drafted somebody who they thought would make a difference. I mean, obviously they had a low pick in the first round. They probably couldn't have gotten anyone with the kind of impact that Jimmy Graham, you know, hope is going to have. But, you know, you can work out some things where you might be able to trade up or package picks from, like, next year if you think that your window is closing, you know, because your defense is getting older and, you know, you're starting to lose guys because, you know, the more you make it back to the playoffs and the Super Bowl, the more guys try to get poached off your team for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they want to win now, I say still try to win now, but I would have traded up. I would have, like, traded future picks in the draft for picks now or something like that. You know, like, I would have traded up, and I would have gone for, like, Amari Cooper or Kevin White, like the Bears draft. That's what I would have done if I was Seattle. I would have tried to take my pick from this year and my pick next year, and I would say, you have my next two first-round picks. Let me move up to your number seven spot. I'll throw in a second round pick next year too. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have traded away my kill. I don't know if he was in a Pro Bowl last year, but I know Mac Unger. I never heard the name Mac Unger before, so I know he's a good offensive lineman.
Yeah, and it's like, because, I mean, you got to look at when the Patriots traded away, I can't think of his name right now, but our I believe it was the left, yep, Macon. You know, that next few weeks, they were rough. You know, you can't just fill in a guy on your offensive line, just think he's going to make that impact that your starter that knows the line, like, you know, back of his hand can do. And
I think
a
lot of that is very indicative of the culture of certain franchises in the NFL, though, where guys, you know, being in the system for a while, whoever they filled in behind Mankins after he was let go, they obviously felt that they could get rid of him, and then after like a few weeks, whoever they were plugging in was going to be assimilated and be able to maybe not play as well as Mankins, but, you know, do the job that they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably why they traded him. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, you traded him for, like, you know, Kim Wright and, you know, whoever, because he didn't have any tight ends. And they're like, oh, that's a stupid deal, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know,
yeah, it wasn't too
obviously well. It ended up working out okay.
But yeah, the,
like I said, Belichick, personnel genius. Maybe he's a cheater, but
mm-hmm.
definitely a personnel genius.
Hey, man, he interprets the rules a little different.
Yeah, just like our congressmen interpret the laws how they like and not how we think.
Yeah.
It's the same principle.
Let me see. Was there anything else on the NFL side? I don't think that's pretty much it on NFL that I really saw.
MLB baseball All-Star game was last night.
Oh, it was? How'd that go?
Yeah, I can see how excited you are about that, how much you were probably looking forward to it. I can tell.
Well, when I started this show, because it was going to be so general, I actually, like, broke down why I talk about so much NFL and everything, and I talked about, like, how we make a good combo, because you kind of fill in all the holes. Like, I was like, yeah, MLB... I just don't care for the MLB.
You're not a big MLB guy. All right. Anyway, the American League won the game last night, 6-3. Mike Trout won the MVP of the game. So that's his second MVP as an All-Star, which is a big deal. Six Royals players played. I'll tell you what, Clayton Kershaw did not look good for the NL, gave up two runs. But it was 6-3. It wasn't like, I mean, it was close kind of in the middle innings. I ended up just watching, the game cast on my phone. I didn't really, like, actually view the game. I saw, like, highlights and stuff like that. But, I mean, over the last 10 years, the American League has had home field advantage 8 times.
Yeah,
if the American League wins, then regardless of record, that whoever from the AL has home field advantage, it doesn't your record doesn't matter. So essentially, what they're telling you is just make it to the playoffs, and then you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is a better. I mean, it feels like it's more of a free for all, and more teams have a chance. But I feel like the best teams still come out on top most of the time anyway. So it's, you know, I mean, last year I feel like wasn't a fluke. I feel like the Royals are definitely a good team. You know, they actually had home field advantage last year and lost Game 7, which is the first time that happened since 2004, is that a team played in a game like that didn't have home field advantage and won. It was the 2004 – I'm sorry, that's happened two other times. The 2011 Cardinals and the 2004 Red Sox, teams that didn't have home field advantage and ended up winning the series, I think, in a Game 7 or something like that.
Yeah,
so home field advantage in the World Series definitely matters, for sure. I mean, sometimes it, you know, doesn't matter as much, but
I guess they do it to make the All-Star game more exciting, so it's just not like, you know.
Well, they wanted it to mean
just
something versus just being like,
mm-hmm.
you know, some games of exhibition. They want it to mean something versus it being an exhibition game, which I'm all for.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, who watches the Pro Bowl? Nobody? I don't even know why they still have the Pro Bowl. It's stupid, honestly.
And it puts a lot of players at risk. Like, who really wants to go out there and, you know, season
over? Well, see, that's
the
thing. I don't think it put any players at risk because they're not playing hard anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like a league paid vacation to Hawaii is the Pro Bowl, and then you just want people to watch it because you think just because it's something that has to do with the NFL, I'm going to watch it. No, definitely not. I have not watched the Pro Bowl. I think I maybe watched 10 minutes of the Pro Bowl my entire life, and I've watched countless at this point total. Complete days of football, obviously, over the time of my life. And the Pro Bowl probably accounts for 10 minutes of that viewing experience.
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl means absolutely nothing. To me, the Pro Bowl is a glorified meet and greet, which is great if you can afford tickets to Hawaii. But why the fuck would I want to watch it on TV?
Yeah. It makes sense. I don't care for it. I really think that they should still have
a Pro
Bowl award.
I mean, most normal people can't even go to the Super Bowl nowadays. Like, you have to have some kind of corporate sponsorship if you want to go to the freaking Super Bowl. Like, normal fans normally don't even get to go anymore.
I definitely looked at prices a year or so ago, and I just was like, this ain't happening.
You can't afford to go to the Super Bowl, you crazy? You don't work for ESPN, even they can't afford it. They got to get free tickets. Even they can't afford it. They have to, freaking passes from ESPN to go. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway. After normal people not being able to afford the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was another thing I was talking about earlier. I was like, normal people, because I was talking about Pierre Paul losing his finger. And, like, you know, they want to be normal. You know, like, you wouldn't think something bad is going to happen if, you know, you shoot off fireworks. You're not going to be like, shoot these. Cause
nobody ever goes into any situation, hopefully, being like, these are the most awful things that could possibly happen to me while I'm doing it. Hopefully, people are going into situations with, like, positive mindsets, like, this is going to be a great time for me and my family, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, letting off fireworks on the 4th of July is so American that, you know, obviously everyone's expected to do it. Now, if you can't be smart enough like, realize that your body is what makes you millions of dollars, maybe you shouldn't be lighting the fireworks. Like, there's got to be some personal accountability. I understand that these guys want to be normal. They want to light fireworks off with their family. Like, that's totally cool. But, like, just be careful. Like, you're obviously not exercising caution, especially if you haven't signed a new deal yet. What are you doing?
I know. You got $60 million on the table, and now it's gone.
If I had $60 million, I would be in a freaking bubble. And nobody would be able to touch me until I sign that deal, I'll tell you right now. As soon as I sign the deal, I'll come out of my bubble. And we'll start doing some interviews. Until then, bubble me up.
Yeah, it's definitely was a dumb thing. And like I said, like, you guys, they want to be normal.
That's the thing is,
they're not normal.
I feel like, well, athletes think that they're so entitled. I mean, that's the culture that we've bred into the NFL, the NBA, not Major League Baseball as much. Obviously, guys still make a good amount of money, but there are so many more players in Major League Baseball, even in the NFL also. But the massive contracts in the NFL to the guys that make a lot of money, there's a sense of they have a sense of entitlement. If you signed a $70 million contract, wouldn't you feel like you're entitled to a lot of stuff, including that $70 million? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I think given them this, like, free reign of society, like, they can do no wrong because, like, they're such good athletes. Why do you think these guys, like, beat women and then still get allowed to come back in the league? I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. Get caught 3 weeks later with, like, an AK-47 loaded in this trunk.
So who's that? I just got light.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Who just got put in prison for like a while?
Probably
Darren Sharper.
Oh, he like date raped some chicks. in Arizona.
Yo, yeah, he date raped like across America.
Yeah, date rape across America. Darren Sharper. Awesome. Good for you, buddy.
It was crazy. It was like, I want to say it was like 27 women or something like that.
I know that that's not the majority of NFL players, obviously. But, you know, there are some guys that are like that. I mean, everybody's different, but, I mean, you hear more about the bad stuff on the news. I mean, I don't really watch the news, but ESPN is sports news. So you hear about a lot of the bad stuff on ESPN because bad stories make better headlines than good stories. Now, don't get me wrong, ESPN does do some good things as well. They do a lot of stuff with kids.
30 and stuff, yeah.
Disabilities. Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of good stuff, trust me. Like, but the bad stories, especially if it's high-profile place or team or something like that, those stories get, like, super play, which is why that ever since Jameis Winston now at the University of Florida State University, if you, like, touch somebody or do anything, like, you are going to be, like, front-page headlines. Because Florida State players have been in the news like the last 2 weeks. Don't get me wrong. They're being total idiots. I think both of them should be kicked off the team. But I know that probably in that same time frame, I know that there's probably at least two kids from other D1 universities that probably did something just as bad. But Florida State are the ones that are in the headlines. You know what I mean? So if you're at such a high-profile institution, you shouldn't be doing that stuff. You shouldn't be doing that stuff ever anyway. Like, don't get me wrong. I know people, like, piss you off. And, like, you're a 19-year-old kid. You're a high-profile athlete. You know, you have a chip on your shoulder because you think that maybe you should get paid at the university and because you're making money for the team, or at least you're going to be making money for the university, being on TV and all this stuff. And then some girl at a bar nudges you, supposedly, according to your attorney, Jose Baez, who got off a murderer of a little child, says that she you know, said some kind of racial epithets to you, which you have confirmed. You said racial epithets. Like,
I'm sorry. Her.
Dude, there is never an excuse to hit a woman. Like, I believe that the sexes are equal except for physical stature. Like, obviously there are some women that are bigger than men, but overall men are usually stronger. Other than that, I think men and women are equal. And, you know what, I think that women should be able to defend themselves against the possibility of, you know, someone stronger, you know, taking advantage of them physically. So if her response was to be like, you know, obviously that kid is a athlete, you know, big guy, and she, you know, some girl at the bar, you know, I'm sure she's probably scared, and that's why she's, like, fighting. I mean, did you see the video? You saw the video? I mean, he slugged her, like, real good, right right in the kisser. Like,
yeah, I mean,
right above the
anything,
upper lip of the nose.
He definitely looked a little pussy because she didn't really move much.
She didn't really
kind of
move much.
Turned right.
You could tell that she was kind of being a bitch. Don't get me wrong. You could tell she was kind of being bitchy. But, like, dude, he was
like,
being a
just
dick.
Just the fact that he, Yeah, and you could, like you said, about his entitlement, he tried to push his way through there. He probably pissed her off.
I'm up next at the bar. Yeah, exactly. Didn't want to wait his turn.
You know? And they probably both had alcohol in them. So, you know, she probably got, like, extra mad for no reason.
And then
he got
mad for no reason because he was drunk.
Yeah.
And then he fucking hit her like an idiot.
Yeah. So it's like... Oh,
I love, like, all the stuff that's coming out now. It's like a week later. Oh, I should have just walked away. But, like, you should have known that in the first place. You should have walked away. Be like, I'm on scholarship at a high profile university that just had some scandal the last couple years. So maybe I should just walk away. He had to be inebriated, because if you're thinking about it, like, as a rational human being, like, you would have just been like, dude, what am I doing? Like, this girl's messing with me. I should just get out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm 30 years old. That kid's 19. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes kids do stupid stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously you should never hit a woman, and I think kids can be kids sometimes. I think it's a really tough area when you get into the legalities of young adults. You know, people that are 19, 20 years old, because you want to say that they're an adult, because when you pass a certain threshold, you're now an adult. But mentally, there is no way that person is an adult as compared to someone who's even 5 years older than them. So I think a lot of it, kids just, a lot of times, your hormones when you're that age, just like doesn't let you make the right decisions. If kids learn some kind of thing to stop and think about what will happen to me if I do something in a situation like this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, I think that would be a big thing. I know FSU now like outlawed their team members from going to the bar at all, which I don't know if that's even constitutional if you're actually over the age of 21. Like, I suppose that, like, if you're in I don't know if you have to sign like a waiver saying that you won't go, and if you go, that you can be like kicked off the team. I don't know. It's all silly to me. I just think the kid should have never done it and should have been smart enough to be like, probably isn't a good idea. I should just get out of here. Probably shouldn't be trying to get a drink at a bar when I'm underage anyway. He's already underage. He's not old enough to drink. Why is he at the bar anyway? I mean, instantly, you're in a bad place.
Yeah. He should just soon as she got physical, try to push her away. But, you know, throwing a punch is just, I don't care.
Yeah,
what,
I mean, honestly,
you know,
like,
it's a word.
He tried to, like, push her away in a calm manner, but he just slugged her. Like, he didn't, like, try to, like, push her away or, like, shrug her off. You know what I mean? Like, he just, like, let her have one, like, real fast. Like, it almost was just like, wow, you were just like, wow, why did he do that? Like, I don't understand. He could have just, like, turned back to her. He could have just turned his back. Turn your back. Because, obviously, if you turn your back, the threat of you doing anything to her, she's going to be like, oh, well, he just turned his back to me, so obviously he's not going to do anything. He probably just would have went away. You don't have to walk away. Just turn your back. Turn your back.
Pretty much. Yeah. But, we definitely hit the mark. Pretty good show. I liked it. Right all over the place. 13 days till... Oh, I never even looked that up. I believe it is July 28th is the first training camp for Arizona.
Okay.
Arizona starts off training camps. I believe it's July 28th. I'm about to Google it right now. Let's see. And if so, that means we're just 2 weeks away. So fortunately, our next week will be just another random show. But after that, we will be talking at least a few training camps. Yep. Arizona kicks it off, I believe, first. So we will be able to talk some football, like actual, like on field people, hopefully not getting injured, and all that good noise. So look forward to it.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, tomorrow, I think we should be all good to go for a politics show.
Third.
And outside of that, that should be it. So everybody have a good day. And, that's it. Anything for you, Doug?
I'm good. See y'all tomorrow. All right. Hopefully.
Yep.